Welcome to the podcast of Maranatha Ministries. I'm Rick Frank, Senior Pastor of Maranatha, and I pray you'll be blessed by today's message. You can access all of our church information by going to our website at www.mmchurch.com or on all social media by searching at MM Church. And now be blessed by listening to today's message. God is so good. I want to pick up. I might even finish today with this one-part series of Isaiah's vision, which has now turned into what, number six I'm on? I want to read from Isaiah. I'm reading from chapter number six, and I'm reading verse number five and six here. The Bible says, woe is me, for I am undone. Now, I talked about that a little bit last week. I'm going to pick up from there. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. If you were here last week, you heard me talk about the mirror, the Bible being like a mirror, the Spirit of the Lord being like a mirror, where we can compare ourselves to what we should be and realize we're a mess. And just in case you think you're something, you need to look at the Bible, because you're not. And just because you're not, you need to look at the Bible, because you are. Well, that sounds like a complete contradiction, doesn't it? Well, we look sometimes in the mirror of this world and we think we're nothing. And we look at it and we say, wow, I'm worthless. Nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. And then we pick up the Bible and look in that mirror and we realize Jesus Christ loved me so much, he went to Calvary for my sins. And so we look in the mirror of this world and we feel worthless, but if we look in the mirror of God's love, we find out just how valuable we really are. You, my friend, are valuable. Don't let this world tell you you're not. Don't let family tell you you're not. Don't let friends tell you you're not. Don't let coworkers tell you you're not. You are of great value to Jesus Christ. Somebody needed to hear that today. Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And again, I don't mean to reiterate, but I just want you to see and know that when you truly get a vision of Jesus, you realize how bad things are. When you truly get a vision of how heaven's going to be, you realize how bad this world really is, and you want to be less and less a part of it and more a part of him. That's the effect it should have on us. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, and then one of the seraphim flew to me having in his hand a live coal. Oh, my word. He had taken from the tongs with the altar. Can you imagine this? The angel was smart. He didn't use his hands. He used a tong. And he picked it up, and look what the next verse says. What's the next verse? Verse 7. He touched my mouth with it. Yeah, why don't you pick it up with your hand before you touch my mouth with it? Because the angels don't need to repent. The angels in heaven were already the ones that resisted Lucifer and his gang and would not turn against the Lord and stayed true to the Master, and they don't have sins to repent, and so he doesn't need to touch it. But you and I, we need to feel the sting of conviction every now and then. I'm not trying to be mean, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I'm telling you that all have sinned, and all have come short of the glory of God, and every now and then I need to feel Jesus remind me that I've got things need to get straightened out. Praise God. He touched my lips with it. And then he said, when he did it, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. It's taken away. Your sin is purged. Listen to me. If you have not gone down, in fact, Kason is getting baptized today after the service. If you have not gone down in the name of the one who shed his blood and died for you, my friend, let me encourage you to do it, because it will connect you with him. It's like having a coal stamped on our heart, branded with the name Jesus. I belong to him now. Your iniquity is purged. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am. I may not be much, but I'll go. I'll go." Who will listen to the Lord's call? Who will listen to what the Lord wants you to do? Because the Lord has a plan for every single life that he put into this world. You who think you're worthless, you who think family has turned against you, friends have turned against you, coworkers laugh at you, you who think you have nothing to offer, God has put a special gift in you that is unlike anybody else's. Out of the, what are there, 6 billion people? You have something that 6 billion people, other people do not have. Do you realize how unique you are? That's how unique you are. So let's talk about this today. Let's talk about Isaiah's vision. Let's try to wrap this up today, shall we? I'll come up with a new theme next week. We'll see what happens. Let me start by saying this as we talk about the five elements of Isaiah's vision, and we have gone through so far. We have talked about his elements of this vision being, number one, that he had a vision of God. Make sure your vision is of God. Number two, he saw in the vision, he saw himself compared to God. Number three, I think we talked about this a little bit last week. The third thing he saw was a clear vision of others. Huh? And remember this about others. Others are not really your problem. Huh? Others are not your problem. But he saw others and he realized that everyone else is just as messed up as he is. Isn't that funny sometimes? We know we're messed up, but we want everybody else not to be. I can't believe he just said that to me. Well, he's not perfect. I can't believe he just acted like that. Well, she's not perfect. We want everybody else to have it all together, and we give ourselves excuse. Well, he saw others as God saw them, that they were just as messed up as he was. But now he's got a vision of God's redemptive power. That's what he's seeing here, the ability of God to redeem people. One of the seraphims came to me having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and he said, "This has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged." Let me tell you something today. God's grace can reach you no matter where you are, no matter what mess you are in life, no matter how many things wrong you have done, no matter how deep into to the pit of sin you have gone, no matter how desperately negative your thinking is. My God knows where you are, and he knows how to go there to find you. And if you don't think he will do it, you need to listen to his story about the lost sheep when he said, "I've got 99 of them in my fold, but there's one missing, and I am willing to walk away from the 99 to find the one." You are of great value to Almighty God. You. Not them. You. And this world has so torn us down and beaten us down to where we begin to think we're valueless and we're worthless and we don't mean anything to anybody and nobody cares about us. Well, guess what, my friend? Maybe nobody does, but I know somebody who does. His name is Jesus, and I have said it over and over and over and over again that if you were the only person out of the billions that are alive or the billions that have ever lived that would ever have come to thank him for dying for you, he'd have gone to Calvary for you and you alone, just you. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves you. I think about that sometimes. He went to Calvary for me. I was on his mind. I was on his mind when he went to Calvary. He crawled up Calvary's hill with a crown of thorns on his head and a cross upon his beaten back. And he said, Rick, I'm doing this for you. He looked through history. He saw my face. And he said, I'm doing this for you. And now put your name in there. I'm doing this for you. He saw you. Not us. You. If it was us, he wouldn't have missed one. 99 would have been enough. But he went through all the names, and name 100 wasn't there. He said, I'll be back. I got to go find Rick. This world's gotten a hold of him. Sin's gotten a hold of him. Life's gotten a hold of him. He thinks it's hopeless. He's out there lost, thinking there's no hope, thinking nobody cares, thinking he can't get out of the pit he's in. I'll be back. I got to go find him. That's what he did for me. That's what he did for you. Grace can touch you no matter where you are. Don't you think you're too far gone. Don't you think nobody cares. Grace can touch you wherever you are. His grace can cleanse you no matter what you have done. His strength can restore you and purge your sins and raise you up and make you who you were born to be. Yes. Hallelujah. And lastly, now I'm not done. I'm on my last point, which, as you know, could turn into another sermon before this is over. Isaiah got a real purpose, a real understanding of his purpose in life. God does not put breath in people for no reason. He doesn't create a human being for nothing. And Isaiah saw his purpose in life. And he heard the Lord say, the world is a mess. Who will go? Whom shall I send? And all of a sudden he thought, I'll go. Here I am. I can do something. Now listen, we are not all world-renowned evangelists. Right? We are not all great preachers. We are not all great intellectuals who the masses follow on YouTube channels and all kinds of stuff. We're just little old us. And when I walk out of this building out into that world, nobody knows my name. Nobody knows who I am. Nobody knows what I've done. Nobody knows how I think. Nobody knows me. And sometimes it's very easy in a situation like that to feel like, because we are such a nothing to this world around us, and all we see is what's wrong with us all the time, and no wonder nobody likes us, and no wonder nobody cares, because we're so messed up and everything is so wrong, and we fail to realize that God can use you. Not us, you. And I want to encourage you to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Don't wait for them to do it, and don't change it around and say, do unto others as they do unto you, because then there's no hope for this world. But do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That means smile when they're frowning. That means say hi when they got a scowl on their face. That means say God bless you when they look like they're ready to slap you. You need to do unto others as you would like for them to do unto you. Who is going to go I'll go. What will you do? I will treat them the way I would like to be treated, not how I'm treated. I will say to them what I would like to have said to me. I will tell them it's a great day. God bless you. I hope you're strengthened. Oh, you're doing great today. I will be an encourager. I will be an uplifter. I am not going to tear this world down. I see why I'm here. I'm here to lift up. Praise God. He saw a true purpose for his being here. Now, as I was going over these notes, I'm going to wrap this up in a minute, but as I was going over these notes, something came to me. In case you don't know what this thing falling apart here. See this? This is my original Bible. I bought this brand new in 1976. And I stopped using it because it's got scotch tape holding papers, holding pages together. And it's got markings all through it. Folded pages, messed up. I wonder if I had that folded for a reason. I don't know. But the reason I pulled this out, not because I wanted to use it as a prop. Look at this page. Oh, man. Is because I remembered way back when that I had written something in the front of this book, and I wanted to reread it. Because when I was studying this here, and I was studying about Isaiah saw a real vision of his purpose in life, this thought came to me, boy, you know what? I remember way back then, and I have a date on it too. It's January 1st. It was the brand new day of the brand new year of 1982. Just for fun, can I see a show of hands of the people who were not alive in 1982? Look, never mind. Put them down. My daughter, who's how old are you, Shel? 40? Never mind. Huh? She was born in 82. Wow, look at that. This was. 9 months before you were born, I wrote this. She was born in August 82. She goes, do you realize I tell people I was born in the 1900s? They can't believe it. She said, Dad, that's like you when you were young and people told you they were born in 1878. You're like, wow. She was born in the 1900s. At any rate, this is what I put in here. This is how I felt back then. And this is how I never want to change. Because I wrote, it's in my handwriting and everything. Only I can read it. January 1st, 1982. He read my heart before I wrote it down. This is what I said. Everything I ever want to be gives glory unto thee. Everything I ever want to be gives glory unto Jesus. Help me never to change that. Help me to remind myself daily that I want to be somebody that gives glory to you, because you went out of your way to march up Calvary's Hill to find me. So let me live a life that glorifies you. And then I looked down. I was really going at it in 1982. In March 28th, I wrote this. The Bible. Search its pages to find out what. Analyze its verses to find out why. And digest its contents to find out how. Man, 1982. And here's the next month. This is the last one. 1982 was a very year of something. And this one really sums it up, I think, for every single one of us, because this is how I felt then. This is how I feel now. I pray I will feel this way next year, and I pray it'll mean something to you when I read it to you. I'm so unworthy, but I'm willing. I'm so undeserving, but I'm desirous. That's how I felt in 1982. That's the way I feel today. I'm so unworthy. Well, who's going to go? I will. I'm so undeserving of the blessings of God, but I'm so desirous of them. And when I fall, when I stumble, because I have a lot of times since 1982, I get up again. I come back to the altar. I come back to the throne room. And I hear him say, "Who will go?" And I say, "I'll go." Because if you can straighten me out, you can straighten anybody out. My friend, do not quit. Do not give up on Jesus. Do not stop coming to the throne room. Do not stop reaching to him. Do not let this world tear you down. Do not let your adversary make you feel like you have no value. You have no purpose. Do not, because you are made in the image of God. Let's stand together. Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 2, he said, "The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Lord, nobody can do a work in the harvest like you and me. Because I look around here and I see a bunch of broken people just like me that God has lifted up out of the muck and the mire and has turned our lives around, has touched our hearts, that can turn around and give hope to a world that thinks there is no hope. We can turn around and give hope to a world that has lost hope, because we know the giver of life. This altar is open. You're undeserving, but come desirously.
Thank you for listening to the Maranatha Ministries podcast. If this message touched you, please make sure to subscribe for more sermons from Pastor Frank and the ministry team here at Maranatha, as well as follow us on our social media platforms. We are located in Schenectady, New York, and if you are in the area, we invite you to join us during our weekly Sunday service starting at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to you joining us again next week for another anointed message. Thank you, and God bless.